all next week. I'm James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And I'm James Evan Pilato from MediaMonarchy.com on location.
Oh, my God! What?
Thanks for having me, buddy.
Hey, welcome to Japan.
Thanks for importing me.
Yeah, we've imported James. He came over in a suitcase. It was a little bit of assembly, but we got it.
I'm compact.
Yeah, you're pretty compact. All right, well, what the hell are you doing in Japan?
It is our 10th anniversary of New World next week.
Oh, my God!
10th anniversary. I think we've pretty much nailed the 10th anniversary.
October 11th, 2009, for those keeping track at home.
Scroll to the bottom of the playlist and find out the episode.
But don't watch it. That wasn't the best.
Look at the
best production.
Yeah. We didn't do titles yet. Mm-hmm. It was just,
I think it's straight in.
I remember... I think, honestly, I emailed you first.
Yep.
In 2007.
Do you remember why?
I thought, my memory is, I heard your podcast, an early episode of the podcast.
Yeah.
I heard it.
Yeah.
Liked it.
Right.
But sent you an email.
Specifically about...
Oh, well, I remember first writing you saying, hey man, love the show, keep up the good work. It was at this point where, again, there weren't a million people making podcasts, especially crazy truther podcasts.
Right.
I feel like I just wrote you to say, hey, I like the show, keep it up. And then a little bit after that,
You might be right.
I think our initial interviews and talks were about the Food World Order.
Here's what I remember. I remember I played the Dark Winter videos on an early podcast about biowarfare or something, and you said, hey, that's from my channel or something. And I looked it up. Oh, Media Monarchy. So, as my recollection, that was our first contact. And as a result of that, I'm like, oh, who's this guy? So I look him up. Oh, he's got a podcast. Cool. I'll subscribe. I start listening. And unlike pretty much any other podcast I've ever subscribed to, I am still subscribed to your podcast. And it's been 12 years, probably, since we made initial contact, right? 2007?
2007, 2008.
Right.
Because I know I was at the grocery store that I was going to talk about. Was getting that regular job that let me, now I can start this blog podcast thing on the side.
Yeah, I remember it well. And I remember listening and going, oh, this is awesome. Because suddenly, I subscribed to all these podcasts, and this is all right. But here is this data dump of 2 hours or whatever it was when you were doing it back then, right?
Yeah,
2 hours?
Too.
Of just story after story after story after story. And so many of them, I'm like, oh, that's awesome. Oh, that's cool. Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't see that. And I look at the news wires all the time, but there was all these stories I hadn't seen. And over the years, as I've told you, I would be able to, oh, I got that story off of this podcast and then this story, you know, off of this one. And eventually I can put them together into my type of podcast where I've got this piece and this piece and this piece and I put them together. So it was invaluable for me for many years.
That's the way I liked, I think the way I've liked to do work, and I realized, and this is the funny thing too, much like Cassie, my wife and I will talk about, I wonder if we would have been friends in school. You're literally a school teacher.
Yeah.
I'm quite literally voted class clown and radio jerk.
Yeah.
But it meets in the middle with sort of the same goals. And I think I knew I wasn't, maybe in some ways I wasn't going to be able to do the sort of in-depth stories, and setting up interviews was difficult, and it's just like, oh, I'm good at hopping on the air and talking about stuff.
Right.
I've always been excited about sharing music with people, and then it was sort of music and news and all those things kind of came together, so the idea of sharing information was the same as sharing this band I like or this song I like.
And
all sort of came together. My early episodes, I think I probably play way more music and clips because I wasn't comfortable about how I wanted to.
Here's a question. Since you redesigned your site, are they still available, accessible, downloadable?
Yes and no. Some of the things go to, if you remember, radioforall.net.
Yes, I do.
They're all still there, but it's gotten cattywampus and kind of moved around. So
right.
And no, I've been working on the back end to kind of reconnect and plug in some of the things that have been broken, I guess, as it were.
Yeah, that would be cool. So New World Next Week specifically, how did that come about?
So we had done some of the, and I think you actually titled one of the podcast episodes Food World Order.
That's right.
And I talk on there, and as I say on my show, you know, I coined that phrase. It just, I was talking and getting into something. It was like, it's, you know, it's like a food world order. Oh, that's good. I like that. We're going to go home and do something with that.
Yeah.
So then we discussed that. I'm at this kind of hip grocery store in Portland, Oregon in 2007 and 8 when the economy's crashing, all the sort of food economics are changing. That's when we're discovering about, you know, the GMOs and all the adulteration and all those things kind of came together. And we had done some work around that on that episode. And probably right then, because I don't think there were other interviews, you said, we might have just been on a, you know, video call, I think I'm going to start making more videos. I think that's probably where things are going.
Yeah.
So maybe we should think about some kind of regular show.
Yeah.
That was back in the day when YouTube would only let you upload
10 minutes.
10 minutes.
So yeah.
Also, those
you'll notice the early episodes were always rushing to. Okay, we're gonna go.
We're out of time. This is also the editing, all the post production. Yeah. Like, none of that had really come to the table, as it were.
Yeah.
So you had said, hey, I think I want to make more videos. We should maybe think about making a regular thing. I don't even know if you said we should make a regular thing. I think because you said you were interested in doing it.
That idea came up. I remember we talked about it. I think we talked because we did a few interviews, right? You interviewed me a few times. I interviewed you a few times.
There was
some back and forth. Well, I think we talked about it a few of the times, and eventually it was like, let's actually do this.
Okay.
That's the way I remember it.
Maybe when we then said, let's actually do this, I feel like then I was like, I came up with the title, which I don't know if we've ever actually said, you know, let's do it. So we'll tell them.
I think we'd have said.
We have said, okay.
But it was many years ago, many people don't know.
It's a play on a Council on Foreign Relations podcast called The World Next Week.
Right.
Which was one of the numerous, again, podcasts I was listening to. I was doing this overnight graveyard shift stocking thing at this grocery store. So every night I had all the freshest AJ, Jack Blood, Fetzer, Tarpley, Daniel, you know, I could listen to all the new shows every single night while I was doing this work. Along with, sort of, as we've said before, listening to the interview.
Yeah.
Listening now. What's the Council on Foreign Relations talking about? And it sort of came to me that, oh, we could be the New World next week. And it plays with New World Order.
Right.
I liked the, as soon as I, again, like Food World Order, New World Next Week sounded like.
I would say people, for an extra Easter egg, should check out the World Next Week podcast logo and our New World Next Week podcast logo and compare them. But I'm not sure if they have the same podcast logo anymore.
I'm not sure either. Well, I don't
know. A long time.
We really have the same logo. I
use
that and I made that. That was one of those late night early, you know,
Photoshop
manipulating.
Oh, photo manipulator, right. Generic photo manipulator.
Late night things that, yeah, I was like, oh, that's, yeah. Those I do feel proud that I kind of came up with the name and made the initial art, and that's what we kind of hit.
You're the name guy. Whenever I have a project we're going to work on, you can do the name.
And then I also have to submit that, of course, Cassie, my wife, also on the side, come up with clever names as well.
Yeah.
You've realized she's a secret weapon here on this.
Yeah, I've realized because you are physically here in Japan.
We are here.
What the hell?
So we met, and you've been super gracious. You've been the host, the tour guide, the translator.
Yeah, it's been fun.
So you met us at the airport, and you lost a bet with Brock.
I did, the details of which will be revealed in my subscriber newsletter this weekend, so subscribe for that.
Plug.
Okay. Yeah, I'll talk about that this weekend. But how's Japan? What did you expect? What has it been like? What do you remember?
I'm not sure
it's been a whirlwind.
What I would necessarily expect. I can be cagey about traveling sometimes and not wanting to, and I know I probably get a lot of that from my dad. Cassie, again, really kicked my butt to make sure that that we did this, that it did really all come together, and we got the tickets and we came over. I was a little nervous about it. It was the longest flight I've ever taken, and this is my first time out of the lower 48.
Yeah.
We're a little embarrassed that we lived in Portland, Oregon for 13 years. And
never made it
right
anywhere
up into Canada. Yeah. Now we live in New Mexico, and we'll probably never go to the old Mexico. We'll see. It's been beautiful. It's been very like kind and open. I get such a kick out of all the cultural, the words, the mashups, and,
the signs, yeah,
the signs, all the stuff, illustrations. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That'll probably be in all my feeds for now, and the episode covers for weeks and weeks.
Yeah.
It's very hot. I was surprised at how hot it was.
Today, right now, as we record this, a little bit chilly.
A little bit chilly. This is my first...
Thank God.
Yeah. We were in Portland, actually, before we flew here.
Mm.
We hadn't been back since we moved away.
All right.
And something even in Portland I was reminded of for a couple of days is there's... there was a drumstick on the street when I was, you know, coming back from the record store. Pick up this drumstick. I carry it the rest of the way back to meet with Cassie, banging on things, and all the fun stuff. Yeah. I always love that, you know, love that about Portland. It's always just sort of oddball things left around. We're out, you know, the other night, we're crossing the street, and I see these cards. And I couldn't tell.
No.
I didn't know if they were playing cards or magic cards. And honestly, I don't really know what they were.
Yeah.
And I run over and, of course, pick one up.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, Konami, you know, the video game thing. And, oh, I'm not supposed to pick things up off the street,
oh,
and I do recall.
No.
I'm not sure where I heard it, and I know I heard it years ago. Oh, I hear it, you know, it's the truth. If you drop $100 on the street, it'll still be there. You can come back and find it. Then you've also told me if it'll either be there or someone took it to...
The police station.
The police box.
Yeah.
And they're always in there. They're all working away. So, again, it's these cultural...
Very different culture. But, so, we have seen... We've been to Hiroshima. You saw the Peace Museum. What do you think about that?
That was heavy, to say the least, but beautiful.
Yeah.
Amazing to sort of be you're mixed in. Of course, there's all kinds of tourists and all kinds of people, but then there's all kinds of school kids.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So something that heavy, something that sort of crimes against humanity, and then you're mixed in with all kinds of children, it has that extra, like, kind of heavy feeling. I definitely cried a bit in there.
Mm-hmm.
Then even later on that evening, Cassie and I, you know, we go hang out at a coffee shop and hang out and what continue
talking about,
the history of World War II and going.
Yeah.
So that was a lot. That was a lot.
It was intense. Yeah.
And I've never been to, you know, there's the Holocaust Museum in D.C. and I never. It's probably the heaviest kind of place like that I've been to.
Yeah. It's intense. So I don't think people are prepared for it when they go in. It's like, you're going in for something. I've been in three times, I think, or maybe four. And I got to say, not only is it not getting any easier, that one was actually rougher on me because now that I'm a father and you're looking at, you know, pictures of dying children and stuff, it's intense, you know?
It was rough.
Yeah.
What did we do right after that? Was there some sort of, did we have some sort of release?
I think that night was karaoke.
Well, so, and there was a big reveal there in the karaoke, even actually to my wife. She said, I didn't know you could sing Smashing Pumpkins like Smashing Pumpkins. So
he sang Disarm, but he put a croon on it that was, I mean, he cleaned it up. It was pretty. As I said, that is the way Billy would sing if he could sing. So it was beautiful.
Of course, kicked it off with the Morrissey song first.
Of course. You got to warm up.
But that was a blast because that's not American-style karaoke.
No, right, yeah. I always forget because I've never done the American style. I've only done the Japanese style. But, yeah, you're in a little room with your friends and only your friends.
And only your friends. Some of those are starting, I guess, to make their way around. A place didn't open up in Portland where you have your own private room. And it does make it easier. That's the sort of the extra thing, the sort of American style, is you have to get up and do it in front of this entire bar.
Right. Yeah, that would be uncomfortable. But speaking of friends, we're there with my band. You got to meet my band.
I got to meet all the guys. There's a guy from the States, there's a guy from Canada, there's a guy from England, and of course immediately gravitated to the drummer guy, who's from not very far away from where I'm from, so we kind of...
Been through West Virginia, right?
He's been through West Virginia, definitely. Talked to, you know, the guy from Canada for a little while, but then I was like, all right, I got to talk to my British guy. So I can immediately start talking about Morrissey and the Smiths and Pulp and Blur and Suede, and I want to go to Glastonbury. Yeah.
And he was somewhat receptive.
He was somewhat receptive, but like that works. he wants to talk about American punk rock, which is, the grass is always greener.
Yeah, that's the way it will happen.
So one of our record stores then that we went to, I'm not jumping too far ahead.
No.
Was it because of the dollar amount that I spent that it was like, oh, do you want the stamp card?
I guess so. There's probably a threshold, yeah.
Of course, I'm not going to go there again. So now I'm able to give that stamp card, and it's going to be able to go to...
I hope I have it. Yeah, I've got it.
Yeah.
I'll give it to Murray or someone. Yeah.
So now the British guy will like me even more that I'm giving him a free, some stamps on the card.
So you met my family. You saw my home life. You saw my children crawling all over me.
What a blessing that you literally opened your home up to us.
Yeah.
And we got to stay there a few days.
It was awesome.
It was fantastic.
Yeah.
Your kids are great. Your family's beautiful. It was a good time.
We had a good time. You have no idea how excited my especially my boy was for the few days before the lead up. Oh, are they coming today? No, it's the next day. Don't worry. They'll be here soon.
And then even when we parted ways.
Yeah. He gave you a beer. True story.
Never been given beer by a small child.
He's got your number, though.
He did. And actually, even that was maybe the first night we were back at your place.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking with your wife about, we were out earlier, da-da-da-da, and they did this and they did that. No, I mostly had beer. She was like, oh... should I go get some for you? No, don't. But then she went around and then found a secret stash of beer in the house. So he definitely got my number.
And we've been to Kobe.
We went to Kobe. That was yesterday, right?
Yeah.
That was pretty fantastic.
Yeah.
As I joked, maybe someone, one of our folks, probably, I'll get back and be like, you were at the World Cup of Rugby?
And you didn't even go in the fan zone?
Apparently, I have no idea. So that's been something through this trip. But the World Cup is going on. So there's all kinds of folks in their jerseys and the subways all over the place.
Yeah.
So we go to the harbor in Kobe, and I guess that's where they have sort of the setup where people go, and they had a large screen set, and the game is on. We walked just past that and just sat
at the harbor, watched the beautiful sunset.
Very, very pink, very changed just every time I glanced away and looked back. It kept altering. Then we went into the city.
Yeah.
And he took us to a jazz club.
Yeah, my favorite jazz club. It's a beautiful place. I love going there. I go there as often as I can whenever I'm in Kobe, and I'm not going to tell you which one because I want it for me. You guys don't go there.
They would. They'll store your whiskey. If you buy a bottle of whiskey, you pay a thing, and they'll keep it for you. And I noticed there was more than a couple of tables. It's like, that's their whiskey. Because they brought over this sort of half-full bottle.
Imagine living in Kobe and being able to go there whenever you feel like it.
Yeah. Looks like they have music moments doing almost every night.
No, every night. We check the calendar. It's every single night.
That was fantastic. I had had a pizza and a stout. It was great. Really good stuff. And again, as we maybe said, I feel like it's been a little bit of a reveal that you're as into jazz as you are. We're going to, after this, we're not going to be talking about Sloan or Smashing Pumpkins anymore.
Let's talk about jazz.
Yeah.
And today we're in Kyoto, where we just saw...
Monkey Park. So we went to a monkey park, which is one of the things Cassidy definitely most wanted to do. You can also, it's somewhat related, a lot of beer vending machines.
yeah, we got one on the way, right?
So I got a beer on the way to the monkey park. I even had to check. I was like, what? It's not before noon, is it? I don't know that I've ever cracked a beer before noon, but it was
1:30. 1:30.
Make this hike. Yeah, we went to hang out with all the monkeys. Macaques, they are, essentially. And there's the big ones and the small ones. And there's all these rules. Don't look them in the eye. Don't crouch down. Don't show any food. Teeth like this means they're scared. Teeth like that means they're going to rip your face off. It was beautiful. There's that little they let you, get into the cage where you can, the humans are in the cage and you're feeding them, and maybe that's more appropriate. Had a little bit of it kind of hit me as I'm being bustled around by people.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And they're trying to feed them and take selfies with them, and I even saw a guy poke through the cage at one.
That's
and it was
not
just
cool.
Like, yeah, I'm depressed now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's, people are the animals. It makes it kind of made some metaphorical sense.
Yeah.
But I don't know that I've ever seen monkeys.
Yeah.
Didn't do a lot of zoos or anything growing up. And definitely never saw them running in front of me and in between us. And
this is not my first monkey park in Japan. I think I've been to like three now. I'm not even particularly a monkey guy.
We've hit a few record stores, like I said.
There's about 15 more to go, 24 more?
I don't see this hitting that many.
Probably not. We're going to hit some tonight. Right? speaking of which, what's in your bag? So we've just recorded in Kobe. We recorded a little What's in My Bag with James's purchases and my purchases from the record store.
The craziest, most messy, stacked, packed. It's
like you cannot walk through the aisles without kind of stepping around and over boxes. You know?
As excited as I can get about finding a record store, there's a certain overage. Of okay, this is just.
I'm not going to go through every record, guys. Don't worry. Half an hour later. just a few hundred more.
Set of stuff to where you have to take a grip of them out just to have them. You know, sort of.
But it was cool. And so that video will be in my subscriber newsletter either this weekend or next weekend. I haven't decided. And then your interviewing me will be on for Media Monarchy members. So please subscribe to MediaMonarchy.com for that.
You took us into, I believe, we went into a pachinko arcade for, I think, 3.5 seconds.
Might have been 4.
Was, again, one of the loudest, sort of sights.
We got to record you going into one before you leave. Yeah.
That's another thing. Massive amounts of cigarette smoking all over the country.
Except
the jazz club. Now, not that we wouldn't
we weren't smoking,
to sit
but yeah,
in a bunch of cigarettes. But it was like this weird. Is the place where this is supposed to happen. But I can drink and smoke and walk all over the place, and everything's like right again. We've joked that it's like, I think your kid probably even bought that beer for me.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know where he got it. Here you go.
It's been, at times overwhelming. I can't imagine us having to attempt at any of this without you kind of there every step of the way.
It isn't the tourist friendliest country on earth, I got to admit.
The money thing was very easy. That was a nice thing. I work well if there's some sort of mnemonic device or a quickie way. Oh, drop the last two digits. Oh, okay. Yeah. So that made it easier. Cassie and I did have a few nights by ourselves. Mm-hmm. We basically went to the grocery store, which I feel fairly at home. I got to front and face in Japan in a grocery store, which really makes me happy to organize things.
It's a gift.
And you guys, looking at the fish, at the fish market or the fish counter. We were in the 7-Eleven here. It's still a convenience store, but it's just the food is better. It's like
you can actually eat the food here.
giant spaghetti and nice coffees. Yeah. I was looking at the comics and magazine racks. Oh, that's a lot of cigarettes, a lot of drinking. Quite a bit of pornography around.
Yeah. But they're cleaning that up for the Olympics.
We'll see. They're going to have to step that up.
We'll see.
So I'm looking at the manga and things on the rack, and I look, and I was like, oh, that's Golgo 13. It reminded me of this Nintendo game. And I was like, indeed it is. I can't read any of this. I'm not going to buy it. I did. Found an issue of Japan Vogue for Yasu, which looks pretty amazing. Of course, it's giant, thick catalog. My plan, I think, is to, again, on our last couple of blasts here, to buy as much more records as I can and then put them in a box and mail them back to myself.
So it only took 10 years, but I finally managed to get them out to Japan to see the place, and here we are. So I guess, does that mean at the 20th anniversary, I have to set foot in the States.
Set foot in the States. I don't see us still in New Mexico.
Yeah, that would be the most surprising thing, I think. Yeah.
But it could happen if we... Especially, you know, if we need to get our own place. You know, that was a bit of... been in Portland so long, it's like, oh, right. It's easy, got everything worked out. So much like a trip like this, I'm suddenly thrown into right. a different situation, and I'm not generally a fan of doing that.
I like to
have my cave, I have my castle, that's where I'm the king. Mm-hmm.
Well, here's the question then. 10 years from now, where will you be?
Oh my goodness, that's our plans. Again, Cassie and I talk about it. It's like, all right, let's work on our 3, 5, 10 year plan.
Mm-hmm.
I've been really heartened lately with the way I've been doing the show. And again, it's sort of like all, so, you know, it grows and changes and morphs, and things that don't work you get rid of and lean into the things that you love. Since I went full-time, which I could only have ever done because of you and New World Next Week, I sometimes make the joke that, yeah, it's like I play bass in a band, and the lead singer got really well-known, and then people are like, hey, I hear the bass player has a band, too. I'll check that out. Mm. But, you know, 9 times out of 10, folks are like, oh, I found you from Corbett, from New World Next Week. Doing the sort of the broadcast from home. Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, you know, news, music, memes, and more. Doing internet radio like terrestrial radio and seeing it have that, seeing the sort of the reaction, the interaction from folks who resonate with it the same way that I did as a kid.
Creating a community of listeners. Yeah.
Hiding the radio under my pillow at night and listening to the radio station. That's what's always drawn me to radio, the live kind of part of it.
Yeah.
So I love kind of leaning in more into that. And again, as you and I have talked, it's a very different sort of alt media world. And actually, I had a guy say, it's just media now, man.
Yeah.
You're not alt anymore.
Yeah.
How much it has changed.
Oh, God,
essentially, if we started out saying, you know, or at least focus on, it's like, hey, they're lying about 9/11. To now the point where space is fake. And what on earth is going on?
And everything else.
And everything else. So it does, again, make me lean a little more towards music and things.
Right.
Sometimes I'd rather talk to Brent from the Dandies maybe about politics.
Right.
Than just talk about politics.
Right. Well, yeah, this is the thing that I've learned over the years is if you're not doing the things that you are genuinely interested in because you are interested in them and that it's what you want to do and what you're passionate about, if it's not that, then there's no way I could have done this for 12 years now if I wasn't genuinely passionate about the things I want to do. This is what I want to talk about. This is what I want to research. I hope you guys are along for the ride. Thank you. But, you know, you can't fake it for 12 years, you know? You have to be passionate about what you're doing.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And so, if the media part of Media Monarchy is an important part of what it is you do.
I've told folks before, I was raised kind of, you know, conservative Christian upbringing where movies and music and those things were kind of kept away. Hint to parents, and just like, that's what I wanted to get into then.
Right.
That's always been the kind of passionate part. And knowing that those media's the, for better or worse, the most powerful forms around.
Yeah.
That's even why governments use.
Yeah.
They have to sort of control stories and narratives.
This is why I do what I do, is because absolutely it is what's happening in your head is the most important thing that will change the world. And politics and stuff, it comes and goes and ebbs and flows, but what's happening in your mind is the most important thing. And what's happening in your mind is a large product of the things that you're hearing and seeing and experiencing and the things they're not putting in front of your face. So we are helping to shape that conversation in whatever small way we can.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the ripple, right?
It is the ripple. There's a guy, I did joke to him that he outed himself. Because on our last episode or previous episode of New World Next Week, you know, that's why I said, hey, I, you know, and I was basically, hey, we wanted this to be a surprise.
right.
Yeah. I don't want to say to people right. for yeah, weeks right, and months right, right. and months, hey, I'm going to Japan, I'm going to James.
Right. We've been talking about it for years, but hey, it's actually happened.
Yeah, so once it was actually solidified, I had mentioned on that show, just sort of as the smokescreen, because I was going to be off the air, like, hey, I'm going to go to Portland, I'm going to go see Morrissey, you know, we need to go, we're going to go visit some friends, hey, I'm going to Portland. So I got a couple of emails from people that said, oh, hey, love to see you, da-da-da. One guy reached out, who's the owner of a well-known couple of restaurants in Portland, Oregon. It's like, hey, I hear you're coming to town, come to the place, love to meet you, buy you a beer. He bought her lunch and everything, and, you know, I was able to kind of talk to him. It's like, you know, you've been, you've outed yourself as being a fan of, you know, alt media. He's and that's the guy that says, it's just media now.
Right, yeah. Okay, there are two things that I wanted to say to you while I have you here on air for the 10th anniversary. One is that you were just saying that you were doing the stream 9 to 5, Monday to Friday now, which includes, of course, Morning Monarchy and Pump Up the Volume, but also other things. You're rebroadcasting myself, Last American Vagabond. You're doing music streams, right?
Old Time Radio.
I forgot about that. We talked about that the other day. But I just wanted everyone out there, maybe you don't know. I know. I do video production and audio production stuff. That is a ton of work. I don't know if people appreciate how much work you do. And I sometimes look at that and I go, I can't believe he does that much work.
I sometimes can't believe it myself. There is also, and you know this, and maybe I picked it up a bit doing commercial radio. It is sort of the... It looks like it's constantly on, but like I said, you know.
You get your downtimes, but in your downtimes, I'm sure you're posting, and you got to get the next day's show notes ready and stuff. Like, that's the stuff that people might not have. They think you just push a button and you just go to sleep for a few hours. Now, there's so much stuff you have to do.
I wonder sometimes, I wonder sometimes that I do too much. I give too much. But I have a tendency, maybe in my work in the past, it ramps up to this sort of ridiculous level, and I'll break, and then have to kind of tear it all down and kind of start again. Yeah. I don't know if that's just sort of personality wise. Yeah. I just want to keep going.
I get it. I remember when I went from full time teaching to full time doing the website. I'm like, oh, I'm going to have so much time to do. I can do a video a day, a podcast a day, an interview a day, an article a day. And after like a couple weeks of that total like energy, then I'm like, oh, that's way too much. I can't do that.
A little bit of it has been the move. Moving to a place where we don't really have many friends. I don't have a lot going on. It's let me kind of, I've dove into my work perhaps even more. To distract myself from, I don't like New Mexico.
Right, frustrations with this and that.
But I griped about being in Portland, too. I don't want to be, you know, I can... I don't want to be a complainer.
Well, anyway, the upshot of that was I just want people to appreciate you are doing a hell of a lot of work. So I hope people are, A, checking it out, and B, supporting it. If you like Morning Monarchy or Pump Up the Volume or any of the services James is providing, please support it.
It's, and again, this is maybe something I might end up leaning more into as time goes on. I don't necessarily hear so much from people who say, oh, I heard that story from you, except maybe from folks like you who are using it to make your work. And again, it feels so rad, so humbling to have either you or Richard Grove or those of folks like, oh, I get the stories from Media Monarchy. If I'm sort of like the sort of smaller version newspaper, or even, again, the radio, where's radio? Conventional radio isn't going to necessarily go super in-depth. Going to give you the layout and give you the pieces, and hopefully by covering, very conceptual things where it's, world news on Monday and tech news on Tuesday, so on and so forth, that those certain folks, grab things and hopefully can further themselves. What I mostly hear anymore is like, that band you turned me on to. And that's where I started. I started doing radio. I went to the school that I went to because they had a radio station. So I've been doing radio since August 1995, pretty much nonstop.
That's 24 years.
But it was always what I wanted to do. I mean, of course, I called a music show Pump Up the Volume because of the...
right, and we're back with a new mic. Sorry. Anyway, I was technical.
Talking about how I like to talk and killed all the batteries.
That's very true. All right, so I did say I had two things I wanted to say. One is you work extremely hard. I want people to appreciate that. Two is that there is no possible way I could have done New World Next Week for 10 years with any other person I have ever met in the alt media. There is no way it would have worked. You are the only person I know who would come week in, week out, put in the work, and actually do this. And no drama, no craziness, no weird detours. We just do the work. And I've never met anyone I could do that with other than you.
It's a blessing. It's a true blessing. It's the same way. We've figured out a workflow. It works fantastic. We've got the time. I mean, we've got it essentially like clockwork.
Yeah.
And I played in bands, and there's time, yeah, all that frustration of like, why don't they bring to the table what, you know, I'm bringing to the table, and this is that,
all right.
This is that band.
Awesome. Well, since our mic probably doesn't sound that good right now, we'll wrap it up here. Anyway, James, thank you so much for coming all the way to Japan.
Thanks so much, buddy.
It's been a blast, and let's do it again in the next decade or so.
All right.
Cheers. All right, take care.